In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. A well-known and highly regarded biblical scholar once remarked that as soon as he hears the words, "There was a man who had two sons," his brain goes numb and he just drifts off. So if that happened to you this morning, you can take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. I confess that one time in Colorado, I almost printed a bulletin with, "There was a man who had two sons, you know the rest." Kathleen told me not to. If you look at the verses immediately before the ones that we just heard, you'd hear that Jesus was at dinner with Pharisees and scribes who were murmuring, great word, that he receives sinners and eats with them. And so he told them two parables about a shepherd who had 100 sheep but went out to look for one which was lost, and about a woman who had 10 coins and had lost one. In both of those parables, Jesus said that God and the angels in heaven are as happy when one sinner changes his ways as the shepherd is when he finds his sheep and the woman when she finds her coin. And he says, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Of course, we know there is no such thing as a person who needs no repentance. We all need to repent. Well, this parable, the prodigal son, as we call it, comes immediately after these other two parables. And it's easy for us to see it has the same basic structure. It makes that same basic point about how wonderful it is to find that which was lost. In fact, it's the third of the set. And if we wanted to call it by a different name, if we could rename it, we would see that just as we have the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, here we have the lost boy. The lost boy is a longer and better story than the lost sheep and the lost coin, but still, it's part of the set of three. So let's look in a little more detail here. The younger son's first words to his father are basically, in effect, "Let's pretend you're dead." Because that's what he's really saying, in effect. So number two son goes off, throws his money away, and sinks so far that he winds up feeding pigs. And we can only imagine how awful that would be for a Jewish boy. What begins to redeem the younger son is that he's able to make a realistic assessment of where he is, face up to the truth, and then make a sane decision about what to do next. He might have been wasteful and foolish, but he does not compound that problem by indulging himself further and denying reality. Doesn't pretend it's not sinful after all. No, the younger son is different. He wakes up. He faces the facts of his situation as they are. He accepts his responsibility. The younger son at this point is way ahead of many people who prefer to blame someone else for their predicament. "It's my father's fault. It's my mother's fault. It's the fault of the culture I live in." The news is full of these people. Well, this younger son, the lost boy, decides that the best he can do for himself is to go home, ask his father for a job, not to be received back into his previous position of privilege as an heir of the house, but just a job as an employee. Well, his father, and we don't really need anyone to tell us this is the God figure in the story, right? He doesn't even wait for him to get to the house. When he sees the younger son coming, he rushes out and brushes off his request for a job, hugs him, kisses him, commands his servants to put together a feast. With the fatted calf, I'll digress here for a moment and point out that in my seminary, we had a party on the first Friday of every month that they called the Fatted Cafe. So now, the father's actions don't mean that he approved of his son's bad behavior. It does mean that he loved him and had compassion on him, and that his love and compassion outweighed other considerations. And this is how we are supposed to behave with those we love, or for that matter, with everyone. This is how the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin end. What was lost has been found. There's great rejoicing over it. Now remember that what made Jesus tell all three parables was the Pharisees and the scribes attacking him for associating with the wrong sort of people. But let's look at the first words of that parable again. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. Two sons. So what makes this parable of the lost son, the lost boy, more than the others is a character that's not in the other two. In this one, there's an older brother. He was there in Jesus' original telling as a way of confronting the Pharisees and the scribes with their attitude. On the surface, the older brother was being silly. Under Mosaic law, he was entitled to double the amount that any other child would inherit, and nothing could take that away. And since the younger brother already had his inheritance, everything would be his, as the father reminds him. Now, we really have to resist the temptation to take this parable apart too much. Perhaps the father wasn't wise to give the younger son his inheritance before he was able to handle it. Perhaps the father didn't appreciate the older son's obedience. Perhaps the older son is surly and selfish and unforgiving. But none of those really form the point of this parable, however. It's natural for us to be sympathetic to the older brother. Now, I'm sure we've all heard sermons on this parable, probably many times, suggesting that we can probably identify with one of the two sons, that some of us are the younger son and some of us are the older son. But I would suggest that that's a very superficial way to look at this story. So are you the older son doing the right thing and being resentful of the brother that doesn't? Are you the younger son running away to do what you want rather than what your father wants, but then repenting and returning? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. Anglicans, I should remind you, we are not either-or people. We are both and people. You and me, each one of us is both. At different times and in different ways, we can be both sons, both sinful and self-righteous, and sometimes we are both at the same time. The outstanding characteristics of the father are generosity and compassion. The outstanding characteristics of the younger son, eventually, is repentance. But the outstanding characteristic of the older brother is pride. He takes pride in his own goodness. Jesus wants us to act as the father and as the younger son. What we're not to do is follow the example of the older son, not to be self-righteous and self-centered so that we aren't happy when someone else repents. Repentance, I should remind you, in the language of the New Testament, the word is metanoia, means simply turning around. It doesn't mean feel bad. It means turn around. And our Lord has gone to great lengths to get across to us how ecstatically overjoyed all heaven is when we swallow our pride and in obedience return to him. We all need to take great care, of course, constantly to repent, to return to the Father, to live in humble obedience, to join in his joy and delight when others do likewise. So the lost boy. So who is the lost boy? It's not really the younger son, because he gets back to where he is supposed to be with God. The lost boy is the older son who just didn't get it and lets himself get in the way of his redemption. And the point, of course, don't be a lost boy. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end.